Thank you, Brother Danny. If you have your Bibles tonight, I hope you do, open them to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We heard a message on Sunday night from our pastor about God's grace being sufficient. That song goes hand in hand with it. Thank you, Brother Danny, for that song and for that thought. I'm convinced tonight that listening is a lost art in our culture. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone that wouldn't let you get a word in? Every time you spoke, they spoke over you. Or you felt as if they were waiting for the slightest pause in the conversation so they could interrupt and one-up the story you're trying to tell. Or how about trying to speak with someone that is distracted? Perhaps something's going on behind you and someone's looking at that while you're trying to have a conversation with them. Most of the distraction in conversation today happens from those wonderful things we like to call cell phones. Doesn't that frustrate you to no end when you're trying to talk to someone, have a real-life conversation, and they pull out a cell phone to text with someone or check social media? It's hard to have a conversation with someone that's distracting. Or how about this one? Just about every week of my life, somebody asks me if I'll do counseling with them, and I'm glad to do it. And we get in my office, and they tell me a little bit about their problem, and after I've listened to them for a while, I'll open up God's Word and let them know what the Bible has to say about this particular struggle or issue in their life. And we'll have a conversation about it, and they'll nod their head, and they'll say amen, and they will promise to do what I've told them to do, and then they get out and do exactly the opposite of what I've counseled them to do. Listen, it's difficult to have a conversation with someone if they want to do all the talking. If they seem totally distracted or they are determined to act contrary to what you've been discussing in the conversation. And if you're like me, after you've tried to engage a person like that a few times in conversation and it doesn't work out, you're ready to give up. I'm not going to talk to that person. I'm not going to have a deep, serious conversation with them. It won't do any good anyway. It's hard to have a conversation with someone that doesn't know how to listen. Henry David Thoreau said it takes two to speak the truth. One to speak and another to listen. When we come to Luke chapter 8, we come to a parable and passage that teaches us that God is trying to speak to us, but very few are willing to listen. Would you look at Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18, a lengthy passage. I hope you'll follow along with me as we read verse 4. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bear fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, and putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. I want you to notice the expression that we just read in verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And I'd like to preach for just a few moments tonight on take heed how ye hear. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I think Wednesday night is great for a couple of things. Number one, Wednesday night is great for deep Bible study. It's great for digging a little bit deeper than you for certainly could do on a Sunday morning, and even a little bit deeper than you could do on a Sunday night. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through this parable and interpret it, figure out what it means, and get at God's intended meaning for the text. Then after we make interpretation, we're going to make some application. And we're going to get some real practical pointers for what it means to be a good hearer of God's Word. So I want you to notice, first of all, with me tonight, the interpretation of the parable. There's no mistake about what this parable and the verses that follow it are about. Jesus tells us what it's about. This parable is about the hearing of God's Word. The word hear, heard, or hearing, those words are used 8 times in the 14 verses that we just read. I want you to think about this for a moment. We think a lot about the preaching of God's Word, and rightfully so. When a young man feels a call to preach, we send him off to years of Bible college and seminary, and rightfully so, he ought to be prepared to preach the Word of God. If you were to go into the average Christian bookstore, you would find an entire shelf, or maybe even a section, devoted to books about preaching and helps for preachers. We think often of what a good preacher is and what a good preacher isn't, and what a good message is and what a good message isn't. But we think very little about what it means to be a good hearer of God's Word. What if I told you that there is nothing more important to your personal spiritual development than having ears to hear God's Word? There is no skill more necessary to become a mature, fruit-bearing Christian than the skill of being a good hearer of God's Word. God thinks much about it. We think little of it. So let me ask you tonight, what kind of hearer are you? Now, immediately when that question is posed to us, we all want to think, I'm a great hearer of the Bible. After all, I'm here on a Wednesday night prayer meeting to hear God's Word. When it comes to hearing God's Word, I'm at the cream of the crop. And because we think that way, we need this passage tonight. Because I want to tell you that maybe we're not as good at hearing the Word of God and receiving it as we think we are. This passage reminds us that being a good hearer of God's Word is about much more than showing up, hearing a message, and going home. Listen to me tonight. How we hear the Word of God is really important. And if this parable teaches us anything about the 4 different kinds of ground, it teaches us that the vast majority of people that hear the Word of God aren't good hearers. And they don't respond to God's Word the right way. This text is about people that hear, but don't hear. People that see what others see, but they don't see. This text is all about how we respond to the preaching of God's Word. And Jesus says in verse 18, we need to take heed. Beware. Be cautious. Pay attention. Because it has everything to do with our lives as Christians. So here's what we're going to do. Let's walk through this parable. We read through it. We're going to walk through it and interpret it as we go. Get to God's intended meaning and make some applications. I want you to notice in verse 4 that the setting of the parable is the popularity of the teaching ministry of the Lord Jesus. It says in verse 4, when much people were come together. Why did these people gather together? Well, they were come to him out of every city. He spake by a parable. We're at one of those points in the life of Jesus when he's at a popular point. Can I put it this way? Jesus is a celebrity rabbi. Now, he never sought out that celebrity for himself. But in those days, in the days in which Jesus lived, here's what would happen. A popular new rabbi would spring up. People would go to follow that rabbi so they could hear his new teaching or his new interpretation or his new slant on the law. That's exactly what happened in the life and ministry of Jesus during the earlier years. We know that he taught as one having authority. He had things to say that the scribes and Pharisees didn't have to say, and that a lot of people were very interested to hear what Jesus had to say. You can follow this throughout the course of his ministry. He'll get multitudes following him because of his teaching and because of his miracles. And then he'll say something like John chapter 6 when he says, "Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And then people will say, "That's a hard saying," and they'll go away. And Jesus rises and falls in popularity all throughout his public ministry until finally you get to the end and the same crowd that shouted Hosanna is willing to crucify him. So what's the setting of this parable on the soils and the parable on the seed? Here's the setting. There are a lot of people following Jesus. There are a lot of people coming to hear what he has to say. They have ears, but not ears to hear. So the parable begins in verse 5 with a sower or a farmer sowing seed. Well, in verse 11, Jesus tells us what this stands for. He says in verse 11, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." So we're not left to wonder what the seed is, Jesus tells us. In the immediate context of what's happening in the life and ministry of Jesus, he's the one sowing the seed, right? The crowd's coming to hear him. He's the one giving out the seed. And the seed is God's word that he's teaching. But in our context today, we don't have Jesus in person preaching to us except through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So in our context, the seed is still the word of God. The word of God preached. And who's the sower? Well, the sower is the preacher of God's word. So as you walk through this parable, you need to have that in your mind. The seed is the preaching of God's word. The sower is the preacher of God's word. That's important. Now, this parable highlights, as Jesus goes on and talks about where the seed falls, four different responses to God's word. And it gives us four different types of hearers. And I want to say tonight that even on a Wednesday night service, even in the middle of the week prayer meeting, these four types of hearers are here tonight. Well, he says in verse 5, the first type of hearer is the roadside hearer, or the roadside soil. Because he says at the end of the verse that as the seed fell on the wayside, it was trodden down and the fowls of the air, the birds of the air devoured it. What does that mean? Well, Jesus gives us the interpretation in verse 12. Look there. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So the roadside soil, that's the first type of hearing, the first type of hearer. Then he tells us the second type of hearer, that's in verse 6, and that's the rocky soil. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Well, Jesus, what does that mean? Look at verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. You ever known anybody like that? They believe for a while, but when they're tempted, they fall away. That's the rocky soil. Then he tells us in verse 7 about the ruined soil. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And in verse 14, he interprets what the ruined soil is. Look there. And they which fell among thorns are they, which when they had heard, go forth. And are choked with cares and riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. That's the third type of hearer. That's the ruined soil. But then after going through three really bad soils and three bad hearers, he gives us a good one. Because look at verse 8. This is the receptive soil. He says on verse 8, and other fell on good ground and sprang up. And bear fruit a hundredfold. And in verse 15, he gives us the interpretation to that. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So he gives this parable to the crowd. Then he gets the disciples alone and they ask because they're interested. Don't miss it. They've heard a little. They want to hear some more. They've seen a little light, they want some greater light, so they ask the Lord, what does this parable mean? Then he explains it, soil by soil, as we've just explained it to you, exactly what type of people hear God's word. Jesus closes the parable in verse 8 with an exhortation. It says at the end of the verse, and when he had said these things, he cried. All right, some of you say, I don't like preachers that raise their voice. At the end of this parable, Jesus raised his voice. And here's what he said. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what does that mean, Jesus? Does that mean that the people that were listening to the parable that day didn't have ears on the side of their head? Does it mean that they were deaf? That's not at all what it means. It means that there were people in that crowd that while they had physical ears to hear everything that Jesus said, they had no spiritual ears to understand the truth that Jesus was sending for. In other words, they followed their celebrity rabbi for a little while. He gave them a message that no one had ever heard before. It was a good message, something to chew on, and they left very much the same after having heard the message. As far as we know, there was no Q&A session. No one came up and said, this parable is hard to understand. How can we understand it? The only people that had ears to hear were the disciples, because they asked, what does this parable mean? Now, in the immediate context of this parable of the soil, we could say this. The soil of the crowd's hearts were not prepared and plowed up and ready to receive the word honestly so that it might do the under-the-surface work and then bring forth fruit. There were people in the crowd that came to hear something interesting, and for whatever reason, Jesus gives us three here, three bad responses to God's word, weren't ready to receive it, or to allow it to make a difference in their everyday lives. Please don't miss this. Every Sunday when God's word is preached, there will be lost people in this room just about every Sunday who are ready to receive the good news that comes from this pulpit. They will hear the same message and the same illustrations and feel the same conviction of the Holy Spirit that will come over them. And when they hear the word of God, they will receive it and believe it, and they'll be saved. But there will also be in the auditorium this Sunday, undoubtedly, unsaved people that hear the illustrations and hear the message and hear the gospel and experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But for whatever reason, one of those three different reasons for rejecting the word, they will leave here lost. Here's what Jesus is saying in this passage, and here's why it's important for us. The problem is not with the seed. The seed is God's word. And the problem is never with the seed. And don't miss it. The problem is not with the sower of the seed. As long as someone gets up and opens God's word, reads God's word, explains God's word, and applies God's word, whether it's long, short, loud, quiet, funny, not funny, as long as they get up and give out the word, the problem isn't with the sower. It's certainly not with the seed. The problem is with the soil. So there were two Christian people sitting in the auditorium last Sunday who heard a message from God's word and from God's man about pressure. Maybe even a husband and wife sitting next to each other. They both are experiencing tremendous pressure in their life. They're both having trouble resisting the resistance. One of the mates has come with a heart that's plowed up and prepared to hear God's word. As the preacher's preaching, that mate is praying. And as the word of God goes forward, the ground is ready to receive it. It does under the surface work, working deep inside the heart of that mate. That mate leaves this place, keeps what that mate has heard, and it produces fruit in their life. They handle pressure differently as a result of hearing God's word. But isn't it possible that the mate sitting right next to them, hearing the exact same message, experiencing the exact same sermon, having, in many cases, the exact same pressures, could hear God's word and leave the room without it making an impact in their lives? Folks, let's be honest, all right? Most of us come to church every week, many times a week. And in many cases, we think we leave here unchanged. I'm going to show you here in a minute. That's not the case. We leave here thinking nothing great happened, and that's never the case. That God didn't speak to me, but that must have been for someone else. And here's what Jesus is trying to say to every person that hears God's word. Please don't miss it. The problem is not with the soil. It's not with the sower. It's not with the seed. Listen, it's with the soil. How I respond to the preaching of God's word is the most important aspect of my personal spiritual growth. And here's the problem. There are lots of people with ears that listen to God's preaching every Sunday, but they don't have ears to hear. And as such, it never changes their lives. So Jesus concludes with this exhortation, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verses 9 and 10, Jesus explains the purpose of the parable. Look there with me. His disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" Verse 10 is so key. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Before he interprets the parable, we already read what the parable is about, he wants them to know why he gave the parable in the first place. Here's what he said in verses 9 and 10. The word of God has a twofold work whenever it goes out. Number one, it has a saving, revealing work. And that's what it did for the disciples. Because they wanted to know, because they had ears to hear, because they were obedient to the little light that they were given and wanted more light, Jesus said, unto you is given the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In other words, because you want to hear God's word and you want to see it applied to your life, I'm going to make sure that you understand it, that you hear it, and that your eyes will be open to even more to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. But not only does the word of God have a saving, revealing work, don't miss it, it has a concealing, hardening work. And this is key. Here's what Jesus says. I speak in parables so that some people could hear, but not really hear. So some people could see, but not understand. Sometimes we imagine that we come to church on Sunday morning and that nothing happened. No one went forward. No one got saved. No one got baptized. It was not obvious that God did a deep work in the lives of any person there. And I want you to know that that is never the case. The Bible says that the Word of God will never return void. It will always accomplish the purpose behind which God has it. For some people that come in and hear the Word of God and are open to receiving it, they will leave with softer hearts, more ready to receive truth the next time they hear it. But for some people who aren't ready to receive the Word of God and who may be distracted or not interested in listening to what God has to say that day, those people, instead of leaving more tender to the Word of God, don't miss it, will leave harder to the Word of God. Every Sunday in my life, one of two things is happening. Either I am receiving the Word of God and it is producing growth in my Christian life, or it's hardening me. And I will leave here instead of more in love with Jesus Christ, less in love. Why? Because I wasn't even willing to hear what he had to say. It is impossible to think that we could show up at church on Sunday and experience a day in our own Christian lives and have nothing happen. Something always happens. Don't you know people like this? People that walk in every Sunday and seem so hardened to the Word of God that if Jesus himself were preaching, they would not budge. You know what that comes from? It comes from years and years and years and years of saying no to God. Years and years and years of being spoken to during the invitation, but not moving. Years and years and years of harboring unconfessed sin. And God says that those that do not have ears to hear will not get any more truth to hear. They'll get a hard heart. And Jesus explains this further at the end of our passage here. And look at what it says. We're going to skip ahead a little bit to verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Brother Tyler, what does that mean? Jesus wraps up the sermon like this. To him that hath. What's he talking about in the context? Well, he's talking about ears to hear, right? So here's what he's saying. To him that hath ears to hear, to him will be given even more. To him that hath not ears to hear, to him will be taken even that which it has. In other words, here's what it means when it comes to spiritual truth. Jesus believes in the philosophy, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. What do you mean by that, Brother Tyler? Well, I want you to imagine that you had $100,000. Man, that's a great dream, isn't it? And you decided to take that $100,000 and invest it in two businessmen. So you take $50,000 and you split it two ways. One man you give the $50,000 to and his business takes off from day one. He's working hard. He's making money. It's a good investment. The other business, on the other hand, does not take off. The man is not putting in the time. And you see very quickly that you're going to lose the money that you have. What does a wise investor do? Well, a wise investor will take the $50,000 that he invested in the bad guy. He'll give that $50,000 to the good investor so he can make more money, right? That's what a good investor would do. And that's what Jesus says God does when it comes, don't miss it, to spiritual truth. that the seed is the same for everyone. He gives an opportunity for everyone to respond to the Word of God. But there are some people that do something with the truth they have, and they're better off for hearing the truth when they leave. But don't miss it. There are some people that after hearing the Word of God are not better off for having heard it. They're worse off for having heard it. And because they were not obedient to the light that they gave them, because they did not receive the truth that God had already revealed, God promises that their opportunity to receive truth and become fruitful people will slowly fade away. They'll be hardened and it won't get better. Listen to me. That's a dangerous place to be. I want to ask you again tonight, what kind of hearer of God's word are you? Jesus said in verse 18, we need to take heed how we hear, because the preaching of God's word is really important. Listen to Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach. Do you know that? Jesus was a preacher. And to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God only had one son, and he was a preacher. John the Baptist was a preacher. 11 out of 12 of Jesus' disciples gave their lives to preaching God's word. By the way, the other one was Judas. Listen to Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What was the strategy for growth in the early church? It was simply this. Every day, they were not going to stop teaching and preaching God's word. You know what that means, folks? It means that if there was somebody teaching and preaching God's word every day, that there was somebody hearing and listening and obeying and responding to God's word every day. The early church was built not on a show or not on a program, but on the preaching of God's word and on people hearing and listening and obeying the preaching of God's word. Paul was a preacher. He said in Romans chapter 1, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of God unto salvation is made manifest when the preacher is ready to preach the word and the people are ready to receive it and believe it. How does God manifest His saving power? Through ready preachers and believing hearers. Listen to this one in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Those are key verses, aren't they? Those show us how we get to be mature as Christian people and get properly equipped to do what God put us on this earth to do. You know what the next two verses say? Don't miss it. Paul writing to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He must about to say something very serious, right? He's charging Timothy to think of the judgment seat. What does he say in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What does that mean? It means that the preaching of God's word is absolutely indispensable to the growth of God's people. You will never get to spiritual maturity. You will never be equipped to do what God has put you on this earth to do until you hear God's word, not just with physical ears, but with spiritual ears and receive it. Titus 2:3 says that God hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. How does God make His word plain to us? He makes His word and His will plain to us through the preaching of God's word. Here's what I'll ask you tonight. How was something that was so important to John the Baptist, and so important to Jesus, and so important to the disciples, and to the early church, and to the Paul, how has something that important to them become so unimportant to Christians today? How did something so important to God become so unimportant to God's people? Why do we think we can come in with a flippant, cavalier, light attitude toward the preaching of God's word? Think that God is going to bless our lives. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed how you hear. That's the interpretation. Real quickly, I want to give you the application. I've got about 8 things to give you, 5 minutes to do it, so I'm just going to list it, all right? How can I be a good hearer of God's Word? Let's put this in the everyday, in the daily, in the practical. And as you're writing these things down and considering them, not only can they be things you can put into your life, but listen, they could be acid tests to tell if you really are a good hearer of God's Word. And if it is making the difference you need it to make in your lives. Number one, write this down. Pray throughout the week for Sunday. Pray throughout the week for Sunday. Listen to Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is the passage on spiritual warfare. Paul says nobody experiences spiritual warfare like those that preach God's Word and those that hear God's Word. We need to pray not just on Sunday, but every day for the sermon and for the delivery of God's Word. I believe this tonight, if we had eyes to see it, we would see a very real spiritual battle raging in this room today. Something that if we could see it, it would change the way we thought about Sunday and change the way we thought about Wednesday. And we'd pray every day for the spiritual battle that is the preaching and hearing of God's Word. Pray before the service. Pray during the service for the preacher while he preaches and for your heart as you receive the Word. Pray after the service that God would seal these things into your heart, that you wouldn't just be stirred, but you'd be changed. Pray for the preaching of God's Word. Next, meditate on God's Word throughout the week. You know what an appetizer is, don't you? When you sit down at a restaurant to an appetizer, you want something that will create an appetite in you. It's not going to fill you up, but it's going to create an appetite, for the next course. You know what your Bible meditation does throughout the week? It creates an appetite for you to experience God's Word on Sunday. You know why so many of us have so little love for the preaching of God's Word? Because we spend so little time in God's Word throughout the week. If our pastor's preaching through a series, you ought to read through that book of the Bible during the week so you can stir up your heart and stir up your affections for the preaching of God's Word. Next, make the majority of your preparations for Sunday on Saturday evening. Listen to me, fruitful ground is prepared ground. Fruitful ground is prepared ground. Saturday night is not a night to be staying out late. It's just not. Saturday night is not a night for a lot of activity. Saturday night is a time for you to prepare your heart for the most important thing that will happen to you all week, the preaching of God's Word. You know what you ought to insist? You ought to insist that you get a full 8 hours of sleep on Saturday night. It takes much more discipline to go to bed than it does to get up, doesn't it? Especially on a night when you don't have a work responsibility the next morning. You ought to insist that every person in your home get a full 8 hours of sleep, that your kids put up the cell phone, turn off the TV. I can't tell you how discouraging it is as a teacher and preacher to prepare a feast all week and to have kids walk upstairs and tell me they're tired because they stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning. You try keeping that kid awake. It's not easy. And listen to me, it's not just a teenager problem. It's a choir member problem. It's a people in the congregation problem. Everybody needs to get a good 8 hours of sleep on Saturday. Listen, iron your clothes Saturday night. Lay them out. Get prepared. There's nothing more frantic and frazzling than trying to find the other shoe of your 4-year-old on Sunday morning, right? So go ahead and get it all done Saturday morning so when you wake up Sunday, you're ready to worship. Why? Because hurry and worship seldom live in the same heart. You can't be a Martha and a Mary at the same time. All right, write this down. Purposely put away filthy entertainment. Jot down James 1 verse 21. You're not ready to receive the engrafted word until you put away all naughtiness. The superfluity, the Bible says. In other words, you can't roll around in the mud all week and expect 1 hour of preaching on Sunday morning to get you clean. If your mind has been in the gutter all week, you're not going to receive God's Word. You've got to put that thing away. Saturday night is not the time to be watching vulgar movies. All right, turn the TV off. Spend some time in God's Word. Spend some time in a Christian biography. Prepare your heart to hear the preaching of God's Word. Next, very quickly, enter the sanctuary full of expectancy, hunger, and need. The Bible says good ground is honest, true ground. What does that mean? It means that we can afford to be honest about our own spiritual condition. That we don't have to be afraid about coming forward during the invitation because we're scared of what people will think of us. You know, the Bible says our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What that means, we're all self-swindlers. When the preacher is preaching, all of us would like to think, I'm doing good in that area. And we're really not. Come ready to have God speak to you. I often pray on Sunday mornings, God, before the sermon ever starts, I'll say yes to you if you'll speak to me. Next, participate in singing, praying, and giving. You know why? Because corporate worship is not a spectator sport. It's not consumerism where we come in and consume a good show. Corporate worship involves all of us. People next to you need to hear you lifting your voice in worship to God. It'll encourage them and stir up their hearts and affections toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to participate in the prayer time. It's not just a filler. We need God's presence. You need to participate in the giving. It's an act of worship that shows God that you love Him and you're ready to receive from Him. Participate in the singing, praying, and giving. Next, open your Bible, follow along, and make notes. Every Bible preacher has one favorite sound. You know what it is? The rustling of the pages of God's Word. I love that sound. You ought to love it too. You would never show up to a class without a textbook. You ought to never show up to God's house without a Bible. Listen to what George Whitefield said. This is such a great quote, I can't leave it. If an earthly king were to issue a royal proclamation, and the life or death of his subjects entirely depended on performing or not performing its conditions, how eager would they be to hear what those conditions were? Shall not we pay the same respect to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and lend an attentive ear to His ministers when they are declaring in His name how our pardon, peace, and happiness may be secured? Next, respond when God speaks to your heart. Respond when God speaks to your heart. Biblical preaching does more than just give you new information. It brings you to a decision point. It makes you receive the truth or reject the truth. And some of you are wondering, during those tender moments in the invitation, and they are tender moments, they're still moments, when God ought to be free to speak to us. And some of you are wondering, should I go forward? Listen, if there's any doubt as to whether you should go forward, you should go forward. Why? Because the consequences, according to this parable, are cataclysmic. What if God does want me to go forward and He has softened my heart to receive His word and do business with Him and I say no and I stay in my seat? You know what the Bible says? That not only will my heart not be softened, listen, it'll be hardened. And the next time God wants to give me seed, it'll be much harder to receive it. Shouldn't trips down the aisle and to the altar be regular, not rare, for the growing Christian? Respond to the preaching of God's word. At the slightest tinge, you say yes to Him. Next, express appreciation to the preacher. When someone prepares a feast for you, it is appropriate to say thank you. We don't worship our pastor, we don't worship our preacher, but when he says something that touches our heart from God's word, we ought to say thank you. Guess what? A congregation that encourages its preacher will have an encouraged preacher. And that's good for everybody, isn't it? All right, next. And this is last. Go out and live what you've heard. Go out and live what you've heard. Jesus said one of the marks of the good ground is that it keeps the seed. The most biblical, bold, perfectly illustrated, interesting sermon that does not live on in the lives of its hearers after it leaves is dead on arrival. The most pathetic, puny sermon that lives in the life of one person on a Monday after a Sunday has done what it was intended to do. So I want to ask you as I wrap this up tonight, when was the last time you walked in here on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Friday night or whenever, and you heard the Word of God preached and your heart was plowed up and prepared? You received it because you had anticipation and expectancy that it was going to be given. Then you allowed it to germinate in your soul, and it did a deep work in your heart below the surface. And sometime that week or in the week that followed, it brought forth fruit that changed the way you lived your life. Listen to me, folks. If the answer to that question is not last Sunday, then we've got some business to do about this matter of hearing. Everyone wants to talk about what makes a good preacher. And yes, we need a revival of Bible preaching, but listen to me tonight. We need a revival of Bible hearing. Take heed how you hear. Let's pray. Father, the preaching and hearing of your word is a sober thing. And Father, I know how often I've walked in this auditorium not prepared and left here more hardened and not tender. And my guess is that there are some Christians in the room tonight that show up for service every week, and even on a midweek service, and it's been years since the Word of God did its work in their hearts. Oh God, would you break up our fallow ground tonight? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.